Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the epistle lesson, and before I read the one verse in there, a few comments. There is a thread running through the scriptures. It goes all the way from Genesis 3 to the book of Revelation. It comes to the surface with Moses in Exodus and with Paul in Romans, but it is there under the surface through the whole rest of the Bible, with Abraham and Isaac on Mount Moriah, and woven into the prayers of Isaiah, and so on. It points to something that is absolutely off limits to anyone else other than Jesus. What is this thing? Romans 9, verse 3, Paul says, "For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen, according to the flesh." That's a bit of a surprise coming right after those glorious verses from Romans chapter 8 that culminate with, "Nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Paul takes two verses in between, and he says, he's telling the truth, his conscience bears witness, it's in the Holy Spirit, great sorrow and anguish over those who did not believe. And then he says that he could wish that he could be cursed and cut off from salvation and cut off from eternal life if it could be for the sake of the salvation of his kinsmen who did not believe in Jesus. It seems almost unthinkable. Now, we can talk about wanting others to believe and what sacrifice might be involved on our part, but we never go that step of that I could lose salvation. How can anyone think like that? Back in Exodus, and we ran into this in the last couple of weeks, after the Israelites turned away from God and they worshiped the golden calf, and the covenant with God was shattered in pieces, just like the tablets of the commandments. It's a total mess. And Moses goes back and forth being the mediator. He rebukes the people of Israel, and then he turns and goes up the mountain to appear before God and pray. He intercedes for the people. And what Moses says as he prays for them is this: "If you will, forgive their sins. But if not, blot me out of your book of life." Standing in the gap, praying, interceding. Moses takes his place with an unfaithful people. Later on, in fact, he will change from "if you will forgive their sins" to saying, "forgive our sins and our iniquity." But being cursed for the sake of another, being separated from God so that others might be saved, this is something that Moses cannot do. And it is something that Paul cannot do. Indeed, there's another psalm than the one we read. Psalm 49 says, "Truly no man can ransom another or give to God the price of his life, for the ransom of their life is costly, and can never suffice. And later on, but God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me. See, it is off limits for us. We cannot do it. In fact, we cannot do it even for ourselves. But there is a Redeemer. Back in Genesis, this Redeemer came walking in the garden in the cool of the day, calling to Adam and Eve to spend time with them. It would be sacred time. But since they had turned away, he had to pronounce both curse and blessing. And so this Redeemer told them about himself. He would be the seed of the woman who would come into the world, and he would be wounded in the battle for their soul. He would crush the head of the serpent, but he would be stricken. He would go to the cross to buy them back and be laid in the tomb and would rise from the dead. On Mount Moriah, when Abraham was about to offer up his son, his only son whom he loved, this Redeemer stepped in. Do not harm the boy. And on that day on Mount Moriah, a ram was the substitute. But the ram was only a picture. The real and true substitute would be the Redeemer himself, the Son of God, about whom the Father said, "This is my Son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased." Job said it, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the end he will stand on the earth." The book of Ruth left us with hints and pictures, as that book talked about a kinsman redeemer. And the Apostle John, he completes the picture in the first chapter. He says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Jesus is the one who could be condemned, who could be cut off and separated, who could be cursed for the sake of another. In fact, for the sake of the whole human race and for every single human being. He traded, he exchanged, he gave up his life as a ransom for every individual one of us. Jesus could take the prayer of the sinner and put it on his own lips. My God, why have you forsaken me? He could take the sin of the sinner and put it on his own soul to carry it in front of his Father and be cut off. He could take the death of the sinner and take it into his own flesh and be laid in the tomb. And then, in the great reversal, he could take the holiness of his own nature and put it on the sinner so they could be righteous in the eyes of God. He could take the life of his Easter rising and he could put it into the future of all who believe in him. He could take his heaven and give it to the sinner so that heaven is our kingdom. Jesus has paid the price that Paul could not pay. And then, I referenced the Old Testament lesson, talks about bread, food, riches, without cost. It's all by grace because it has been paid for by the Redeemer. The gospel lesson, as Jesus is out in that desolate place and taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish and breaking them and feeding the crowd, actually, that is the one miracle in the Gospels that is reported in all 4 of the Gospels. In the Gospel of John, there are a few more things that Jesus says, explaining later on. He says, "The bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And I am the bread of life. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." And he can give himself as that ransom for our souls. John chapter 15, verse 13 is where Jesus says, "Greater love has no one than this, that man laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends." And there is no greater love, not in all of human history, not in all of eternity, than the love of Jesus for us, to lay down his life and to endure the curse and the separation in our place. And that is why, as you get on in the Bible to the book of Revelation and on into eternity, Jesus is known there as the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world, or just simply the Lamb that was slain. Finally, we will hear Jesus summarize all of this in just a few moments, because he will say, "This is my body given for you. This is my blood of the New Testament shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." And we receive that eternal forgiveness and eternal life from Jesus Christ. In his name, amen.